Blog Talk Radio.
From the far reaches of the known universe, we are proud to present Brother Harold Muhammad, soldier, scientist, scholar. Blog Talk Radio's finest, not so mad science, on Black Hole Radio.
Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to tonight's edition of Not So Mad Science here on the Black Hole Radio Network with your host, Brother Harold Muhammad. Once again, and as always, coming to you live from the city of Detroit, Motown. Just because Berry Gordy took Motown to L.A. does not mean Detroit has lost its soul. We have a cornucopia of subject matters to cover tonight. In our push looking for the psychology of war, we are compelled as human beings to look at the different fronts war is waged on. We are compelled as citizens of this earth to tie the threads and expose the hidden hands of the makers of war, their intent, and the damages done to those who suffer the trauma of that war, the COVID war, the social war, the faux or fake war on crime of the 70s, 80s, and 90s. We are a believing people, therefore we must believe where it says in scriptures, wars and rumors of wars. We must be aware. So before we get an opportunity to jump headfirst into our subject matter, I want to open up tonight's program with a say a little prayer from our departed queen, Aretha Franklin. Welcome back. Once again, this is Not So Mad Science with your host, Brother Harold Muhammad, here on the Black Hole Radio Network. Yes, we are in dire need of prayer, but prayer without work is wasted words. So let's get into it. Last week, we left off in our examination of the psychology of war, and we went into detail about the chronic trauma caused by the state of war. We went into some detail the impact on a planetary scale of the impact on war on the global environment, not just people, but the planet itself. We looked at some of the details of this war on COVID, where the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta is spearheading the global drive. People take the vaccine, take that jab, get the one, booster two, booster three, and now there's the fourth booster that may be required. We opened up and we examined the failings of those who have the political responsibilities to give us the truth about what's going on, where they've hidden and withheld information. Well, tonight, we're going to take a look at some other aspects to this. And believe me when I tell you, you may not necessarily be 100% pleased, because the war is not just medical, biological, chemical. There's a social aspect to this war. There's a war on women. Oh, Brother Harold, why would you say that? Let's take a look. For those who have been paying attention to the world of athletics, where women are concerned, you have a 6'4" man, 22 or 25 years of age, who now identifies himself as being female, transgender, yet he still has a penis. He still grows facial hair, who's competing in the realm of swimming against natural-born women. Proud of himself. But you're destroying the fabric of nature and the psychology of a woman born competing against a man, losing to this man who could not compete against other men. He was 469th or 70th in the world against men, but he's a world champion competing against women. There's a war on women. But to take it a step further, I want to share with you something I came across on Sci-Fi Wire, where they say there's a brave new world that just got more real with the first mammal ever born from an unfertilized egg. What does that mean? You have some animals in nature that do not require male and female. They're born pregnant. But they're also born all female. That is in the world of science called parthenogenesis. So take a look at this with me. What if you looked in the mirror one day and knew that you came from only one parent, because another parent wasn't necessary to create you? And maybe this is not a dystopia Aldous Huxley movie where human embryos are conceived in vitro and grown in glass tanks, which pretty much would creep anybody out if you watched The Matrix. But the possibility of creating another human being from only the mother's genes, no father, no sperm. That's an alternative universe kind of stuff. But is that cloning? No. It is the science of parthenogenesis. This particular phenomenon, by definition, means virgin birth. It occurs in reptiles and other creatures, but never in mammalian life, human beings, mammals, until now. Asexual reproduction is not a thing among mammals in nature. That changed a few weeks ago when an international team of researchers managed to turn unfertilized eggs, known as oocytes, from female mice into an actual embryo. And all of them survived for a while. And one of them made it to adulthood before it died. Parthenogenesis happens when an embryo develops from an unfertilized egg. But sexual reproduction in mammals requires both male and female DNA. These scientists defy nature with this. In mammals, parthenogenesis is limited because of the problem arising from genomic imprinting, according to what these researchers said in their study, which was published in a doctoral series called PNAS. PNAS. They added that parthenogenesis can be achieved by targeted epigenetic rewriting of multiple critical imprinting control regions in your genes. Now, we got to remember why this is important. Because though the vaccine that is being promoted through the pharmaceutical companies and pushed by the federal government that everyone takes, they're using the term vaccine. However, the doctors that have come up with this, when they wrote their paperwork on it and submitted it for approval for this temporary vaccine usage, defined it as gene therapy. They do not use the term vaccine. It is promoted as a vaccine, but they defined it scientifically as gene therapy. Keep that in mind as we go on. Parthenogenesis does not happen naturally in mammals. And previous attempts ran into DNA glitches because mammalian conception needs genes that can only come from a male parent. This research team solved that problem by editing certain female genes with a technology called CRISPR. CRISPR. It is the same technology that was used to create the so-called vaccine. Until they were, at one point, they were the same as if they came. They modified these to fool the egg into thinking that it came from a male. They repeated this process with several eggs. These were then implanted into a female uterus and allowed to grow. They went from an embryonic stage to a fetal stage to actual living offspring. One of which that lived for a year, or rather went to adulthood, was able to produce its own offspring. The problem is it was only able to reproduce females. How a gene is expressed depends on its imprinting, during which that gene is modified or altered through the DNA sequence itself remains the same. Some imprinted genes are only expressed when inherited from the female, while others need to be inherited from the male. The researchers had to be extremely precise in using the CRISPR technology to edit the gene. Deleting some genes can cause mutations that may end up being too problematic for an embryo to make it. So how do some female animals manage to spawn without a mate or genetic intervention? Now we're getting into basic biology here. When a gamete cell divides in the process of meiosis, there are four resulting cells. Each of these cells has half of the parent cell's chromosomes. These are known as well as, you'll see this term now in the news lately, called haploid cells, as opposed to diploid cells, which have all the chromosomes. The byproducts of cogenesis, meaning male and female, are haploid cells, or what they call polar bodies, meaning opposites, whereas positive and negative are opposites. Male and female are opposites. And down are opposites, okay? These cells, which are called oocytes, they cannot be fertilized and often die out. However, there are exceptions when a female needs no male. There is one form of parthenogenesis that only needs an oocyte cell and a polar body to create an embryo. This is known as an automix, or rather automixis, which is spelled A-U-T-O-M-I-X-I-S, which occurs in certain species of sharks, and move some of the genes around so the offspring can survive. Another type of parthenogenesis is called apomixis, which is spelled A-P-O-M-I-X-I-S. This works with gamete cells, skipping the meiosis process entirely and self-replicating without mitosis. Now you may ask, why am I going through all this developmental stage information? Because when I come behind this, I'm going to share something with you from the state of Florida regarding the Florida state, not the medical director, he's the Surgeon General of Florida. This detail will be important to you then. Apomixis, where no male is required, happens more in plants than anything else. offspring conceived through either form of parthenogenesis are not clones, though they may look unnervingly like or unnervingly close to the parent that has been made from. Anything, and I mean absolutely anything, you cannot get around it. Anything that is born through automixis is going to be female, because it's going to get two X chromosomes passed down from the mother. This explains why the egg of a lizard, which never mated, but because asexual biology was able to reproduce, only hatches another female. It is possible for parthenogenic offspring of some organisms to be male. But since this sperm only contains X chromosomes, all of their offspring will be female, which is the case with the one mouse that survived till adulthood, that mated. All it can produce is females. So where does that take us? How is this an assault on women? You know, this is not some Greek or Roman mythology where you have a society of warrior women. No, that is not what the world is made up of. It is only made up of two kinds of people. One male, one female, which has the mutated hermaphrodite. All of these other terminologies of transgenderism and this ism and that ism and this schism and that schism, all of these terms are made up from the psychology of a person making a decision not to be what they were born. You can't refute it, you can't change it, and you can't make this stuff up. The war on women. They are taking from you the partnership of the male-female relationship. Why is that dangerous? We are taught in scripture that woman was made from Adam's rib. Well, that's just poetic language to mean one thing, that we are all of one blood. Because if you take my bone and you get the marrow out of my bone, that is the genetic material by which another person can exist. Where female can only give one part, the X chromosome, man has both X and Y. So something can be worked there to produce the partner. In scripture, it says that God looked into himself and he saw two people, one male, one female. That does not discount the arbitrary production of the hermaphrodite, which is a mutation. Now, I said I was going to add into this the Surgeon General from the state of Florida. In Florida, back in January of this year, January 28th, the state Surgeon General of Florida, Dr. Joseph discounted and disproved the factual, so-called factual information provided by the CDC. Just recently, he's back in the news again. Because of his contravention, his push against the CDC's mandates, which he says are unnecessary, according to the state of Florida. Their Surgeon General says children, healthy children, do not need the vaccine. It is unnecessary. Their bodies will produce the natural antigens that it needs, as it does with measles, mumps, rubella, and all the other childhood diseases, to fight it off on their own. Healthy children. Well, let's look at what he said back on January 24th. In the state of Florida, he said that on a Monday night, that it will close all of its state-run monoclonal antibody treatment sites after a decision by the FDA to limit the use of two monoclonal antibody treatments for COVID-19. What does that mean? Monoclonal antibodies are the product of gene therapy. He said in an exclusive interview with CBS 12 News in Florida, he balked at the government's decision. The FDA revised the emergency use authorization for the monoclonal antibody drugs from companies like Regeneron and Eli Lilly, saying that their laboratory studies show the treatments are likely ineffective against the Omicron COVID-19 variant. The FDA said that a third drug produced by a company called Sotrovimab, boy, these names. Sotrovimab does work against Omicron, but that the supplies of the material are limited. The CDC data shows the Omicron variant now makes up roughly 99% of all COVID cases, including Florida. This is back in January 24th. A spokesperson for Eli Lilly told CBS 12 News that very night, the company agreed with the federal government's decision to limit the use of their drug, saying, quote, "Evaluation confirms their drug is not effective at treating the currently predominant Omicron variant. However, Dr. Anthony Fauci kept promoting it as the government's representative to the people of America and the world for it as a deterrent against Omicron." So what's happening here in this assault with this genetic remodification that they are forcing people to go through? The assault on women by removing the advent of men, because you don't test on mice unless you plan on testing on people. You don't test on other mammalian life unless you're planning on moving it up to the higher end of the chain in man. Genetic remapping not only is an intrusion on the body, it's also an intrusion on the mind that is in that body. Let's continue. You are taking a gene modification drug titled as a vaccine. Everybody, and I mean absolutely everybody that has taken that vaccine, has a reaction to one degree or another. Some, the reaction is so mild that they don't notice it. However, just wait a little bit longer. You will find that there are things in your body that are not operating the way you thought they should be operating, because now your body is addicted to the drug. You won't be able to survive without the jab. Your body must have it. You're now an addict. You're stuck on the vaccine. You must take it, else you cannot survive. Did they give you, because they rewrote your genetic coding, your body now requires this booster in order to function properly. Not only is it a biological and chemical assault on your body, a physical assault on your body, it is now a mental assault. And that is where the junkie and the drug user get stuck. The cigarette smoker gets stuck. The body calls for the poison. And when it can't have it, it will damn near drive you insane. And the hardest drug to kick is not heroin. It's not crack. It's not cocaine. Or some of the other recreational drugs that people use. It's not even alcohol. It's a cigarette. Because nicotine bonds to the body at a genetic level. So you add to that remapping your uterus, remapping your body with this genetic restructuring of you with this COVID vaccine, and allowing men to deny their masculinity and become women. But how many women can deny their femininity and become a man and think she can compete with a man on a man's level? This is a one-way process. This is an assault on women. Mind you now, we started off talking about the psychology of war. So we have to look at the different fronts at which this war is being waged. The COVID war, the social war, the fake war on crime of the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Wars and rumors of wars. Let's continue. In the Wall Street Journal, an article was presented which identified the following. And please forgive me for my sniffles. It's not that I have a cold. I don't have COVID. It is because of a physical reaction that my body goes through when temperature changes. In the Ukraine, they have begun to use medical passports. Everyone that took the vaccine, they've been codified, identified, and verified. They are now using this COVID medical passport to track the movements of people in the war zone. Is something that they wanted to do here. President Biden nicked that. No, you don't need a medical passport to be able to move around. But somewhere in the world, there had to be a test case of where they wanted to look to see how it would work in practical usage. And lo and behold, all of a sudden now we got a war in the Ukraine with Russia. They invade the Ukraine, and the Ukrainian government uses the technology and app called DIA, D-I-I-A, to track the movement of people based on their vaccination status. Process that for a moment. It is tracked via the satellite system. Do you find that peculiar? Do you find that strange? I find it as a typical response to prophetic information that was given to us 2 years ago, that they were looking for a way to monitor and track people, that there was a bug put in the vaccine that they could track using the 5G network. In 2020, the Ukrainian government launched the DIA program. It's a digital app that combines an identity card, a passport, a license, vaccination records, any registration you have with any institutions, your insurance, and your health reimbursements and social benefits. This was before Russia's February 24th invasion of the Ukraine. 2 years before. Now it appears that the Ukrainian government is expanding the DIA app, illustrating how digital apps can be used or employed during wartime. In the Ukraine, the word DIA, D-I-I-A, means action. But it's also an acronym in that language which stands for the state and me. The Ukraine's Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Digital Information, Mykolo Fedorov, first announced the app on September 27th of 2019 under the auspices of the state and a smartphone project. It was officially launched as a requirement in the Ukraine to get assistance on February 6th, 2020. The DIIA is intended to combine all public services into one app, which operates as a digital state. Digital passports and other official documents are now considered legally equivalent to their paper versions, making the Ukraine the first and only country to accomplish this. The DIIA provides more than 50 government agencies the eventual goal of making all interactions with the state available through the app. Currently, 14 million Ukrainians, according to Wired magazine, are hooked into DIA, and it is now considered a national brand in the Ukraine. We thought for going a little bit too far with their conspiracy theories, that there was something in these vaccines so that they could track people. Now there is a real world application and real world usage of it in the Ukraine. Here's the interesting thing. The minister of technology in the Ukraine, Mr. Fedorov, had previously established a digital marketing startup company that he owns, which led to him being hired by Volodymyr Zelensky in 2018 as the director of digital for Zelensky's presidential campaign in the Ukraine. Can you see where I'm going with this? Is this really conspiracy theory? How many fronts is this war, the psychology of this war being fought on? What kind of mind and what kind of person thinks of these things to make money off the misery of people, the social and psychological damages that they do with their movements and their choices and their decisions to make money? We're talking about the psychology of war. We are compelled to look at the different fronts the war is waged on. We are compelled to tie the threads and expose the hidden hand of the makers of war. What is their intent? And the damage is done to those who suffer the trauma of that war. The COVID war, the social war, the fake war on crime of the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Well, we were told when there was a war on crime, this was to, they had a drug czar, you know, back during the Tricky Dick administration, Richard Nixon, only to find out that that was the cocaine pipeline into the United States headed up by then Army Colonel Oliver North. Yeah, he was, they were the drug czar. Well, who were the victims of that? It was the black community, because we got blew up with cocaine. Crack cocaine were the victims of that fake war on crime. Bill Clinton and the war on crime, excuse me, war on crime, and his predecessor, their war on crime. Who are the victims of these wars on crime? When we were not bringing the drugs into our community, they were. Government funding. Yet we became the victims, which thinned out the quality of young black males who were the targets of those wars, who either became so drug-induced that they were no longer of use, or they went to jail because they were the local guy who was moving it in the streets while the hidden hand sat behind the scenes and made the drugs available to be moved in the streets. We're looking into the psychology of war. Who is the purveyor of these wars? Who starts them? Who identifies them? Who's the pusher behind them? When you finally, I have a friend of mine who says I shouldn't say things like this, but I'm going to. when you finally decide to take your head out your ass and heed the call, y'all, and listen to the trumpeter when he blows his trumpet to warn you and tell you the truth, maybe then you, me, can survive. This is Not So Mad Science, and I'm your host, Brother Harold Muhammad. We'll be back in, let's just say 2 minutes and 48 seconds. We're going to have another treat from our departed queen. Welcome back. This is Not So Mad Science with your host, Brother Harold Muhammad, here on the Black Hole Radio Network. Going to switch gears a little bit. And I want you to see the planetary connection. We mentioned it last week. And how the planet responds when it is being intruded upon. Excuse me. There is something known as planetary intelligence. Conventional intelligence is seen as a property of individuals. However, it can also be a property of a collective mind. Examples include collective decision-making by social insects, swine mold that navigates a maze, because that is a single animal which appears to be a multicellular animal that works as a collective. Individual cells behave intelligently. Viruses themselves are a collective of intelligent chemical processes. The human beings are also intelligent, and our intelligence primarily derives from our social behavior, which is currently global in its reach. These examples serve to highlight the fact that intelligence, broadly construed, operates across diverse length and time scales. An open question is whether or not intelligence can operate on a planetary scale. And if so, how a transition to planetary scale intelligence might occur, and whether or not it has already occurred or is on the near-term horizon. I would say that the planetary scale has taken place. COVID-19 being a planetary pandemic took the mind of every person on the planet. Understanding the current state of intelligence on Earth and steering its future will require understanding how human and technological systems are integrated and might display collective intelligence at a planetary scale. Keep in mind now what we just said about the Ukraine. The appearance of intelligence in the evolution of life may represent one of a series of major transitions in a planet's history. From Earth's evolution, we see that once intelligence manifests in the form of a global technological civilization, it has the power to reshape a planet in profound ways. The internet. On one hand, a civilization's technological and energy harvesting capacities may allow it to engineer the world, creating new planetary scale behaviors and functions, allowing that civilization to survive over longer time scales than otherwise possible. Again, information so readily available via the internet, the planetary mind scale has already been breached. Conversely, those same technological capacities may lead the species, or at least its global civilization, into a kind of psychosocial suicide. The war in Ukraine with Russia. Nuclear weapons are on the table. They may also drive the planet into new states of its coupled systems, atmosphere, hydrosphere, which truncate the civilization's evolutionary possibilities. Climate change. The consideration of intelligence in astrobiological studies has, however, tended to regard it solely as the property of one or more species which evolve on a planet and then go on to create a technological civilization rather than as a collective property existing in groups of organisms or societies. By implication, most astrobiologists do not view intelligence as a property of the biosphere, from which a technosphere emerged as an evolutionary stage of global intelligence. What am I saying? There is a clash of ideas amongst scientists that all this technological advancement is primarily a retardation of the individual bodies, which are a part of the whole. They are retarding because they do nothing with their minds. Everything is finger-driven. They stare at the two-dimensional screen. But you can't put a paper map in their hand and tell them to find their way to the grocery store. Too technologically dependent. They can't write in cursive, and they can't read it. It's as if it's a foreign language. Once again, I gotta say, this is Not So Mad Science, and I'm your host, Brother Harold Muhammad, here on the Black Hole Radio Network. So what does the planet do to protect itself from the advent of crazy people doing harm to it? The Earth poles, North Pole, South Pole, are undergoing simultaneous, freakishly extreme heat, with parts of Antarctica hitting 70 degrees, warmer than average, and areas of the Arctic on the other side reaching 50 degrees, far warmer than the average. The Arctic was 30 degrees Celsius warmer than normal. The Antarctic, 40 degrees Celsius warmer than normal. Weather stations in Antarctica shattered records past Friday as the region neared its autumn season. The 2-mile-high Concordia station was at 10 degrees Celsius, which is 12.2 degrees. Correction. It was at 10 degrees, which is also 12.2 degrees Celsius, which is about 70 degrees warmer than average or normal. While even the even higher Vostok station hit a shade above 0 degrees, which is minus 17.7 degrees Celsius, beating its all-time record by 27 degrees. And this is according to a tweet from the extreme weather tracker Maximiliano Herrera. Through Terra Nova base, was far above freezing at 44.6 degrees. Temperature never hit before there. It caught officials at the National Snow and Ice Data Center in Boulder, Colorado, by surprise, because they were paying attention to the Arctic, where it was 50 degrees warmer than average, and areas around the North Pole were nearing or at melting point. What happens to all that ice when it melts? Where does that water go? Coastal cities begin to flood because there's more water than normal. The North Pole and the South Pole are opposite seasons. You don't see the North and the South Pole both melting at the same time. Absolutely
and definitely an unusual scientific occurrence. What is happening? The planet is responding to its environment, and it looks to clean itself. How do we know this is true? It's done it before. The great year is called the 26,000 year cycle, where the planet will flip its poles. Up is now down, and down is now up. Why? It's looking to recycle itself to begin anew. Why? Because things on its surface are out of place and out of sync, and it must correct itself. Planetary consciousness for a people who are planetary wise. This is Not So Mad Science, and I'm your host, Brother Harold Muhammad, here on the Black Hole Radio Network. This war is being fought on several fronts. Not only do we need to fight back the mind war against the hidden hand, the powers that be, the municipalities, but the planet will look to save itself from you and I if we don't save ourselves from them. Now, recently, I read again. I do a lot of reading. That's the only way I can share what I share with you all. And then I confirm and document what I read. Do not let your 5 and 11 year old children be vaccinated. The degree of heart failure, myocarditis and pericarditis in teenagers and 20-year-olds, swollen limbs and amputations taking place in younger children, if you don't take the time to stem the tide, you can blame no one but yourself for what happens to you. This is Not So Mad Science with your host, Brother Harold Muhammad, here on the Black Hole Radio Network. We're going to be closing out now at this time. And I want you to percolate a little bit on what we share tonight, because I certainly am. Wake up, everybody. There's no more time for sleeping in bed. No more backwards thinking. It's time to think so we can get ahead. There are so many things we can change from what we used to be. We are far too sacred to let ourselves begin to continue to be victims. We will continue our assault and I'll look into the psychology of war and who the warmonger is. So this is Not So Mad Science with your host, Brother Harold Muhammad, here on the Black Hole Radio Network, leaving you with those immortal words of Adam Clayton Powell Jr., that great black pastor of the Abyssinian Baptist Church in New York City. Keep the faith, baby. Keep the faith. Allah willing, I'll see you all next week. Let this not be our swan song.